Well, I bring grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in faith. Today is the beginning of the season of Advent, and you can look in the sanctuary and I tell you that when you see the Advent wreath is up, and one of the candles on that wreath has been lit. And for some of you who are not familiar with the church's calendar, I always like to use the opportunity to explain what these church festivals or events are about as we celebrate them. And so Advent is considered as the season of expectation, okay? And it is usually the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And you all know now that in the air, in the atmosphere, we can sense and smell Christmas going on. If you went into the grocery store right now, there are, you will see nothing but Christmas in the air, in the stores. And you will hear the Christmas song going on. And these are the things that remind us that Christmas is in the air. As a matter of fact, many of us are planning on going to shop and buy Christmas gifts. Some of us have put up our Christmas trees and lights and all those things. These are all in expectation of celebrating this glorious day that is coming, December 25th, and we are all in gear for that. This was the same with Israel back in the day. Israel was expecting the Messiah to come. And so when we hear from the prophet Isaiah speaking in Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto us a son is given, a son is born. And so this was the expectation that Israel had. They were waiting on a Messiah to come, and they were in gear for that, in preparation, because God had made this promise that they were all waiting. But sadly enough, he came to the very ones that were waiting on him, but they did not recognize him nor receive him when he arrived, because the expectation that they had was totally removed from what God was doing and what God had planned on doing at that time. And so they missed the Messiah when he arrived. And we read in texts like John 1 verse 11 that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They did not receive him because they had a different expectation of who the Messiah would be or how he would come to the world. They were all caught off guard when Jesus appeared. And I don't know if you have seen a situation have happened in your life before where you were caught off guard by something you should have known that were coming, but then it came at a time that you did not expect it. I remember a long time ago when I used to work my secular job, they would just randomly show up at the office in the morning with these guys coming to test people for drugs. And the moment we enter into the building, y'all go straight into this room and they ask you to go and get your specimen so that they would test it. And I used to see many of the guys trying to dodge doing that. It would be like, I have not drank water yet. And they tell you, sit in this room. You're not going out until you give us your And usually after that event takes place, we will end up losing a few of them because they let them go. You know, because the job that we did call for you to be having your mind alert, and they didn't want any kind of coincidence to take place. So they were checking them randomly, checking us, you know, constantly, but randomly without announcing it. And that was people were really caught off guard when that situation took place, you know, or like a very surprise inspection on a job. Something, somebody just showed them you're not ready, or somebody knocked on your door when the house is not clean, it's messy. And you get up trying to pick up everything, come on, and call the kids, let's clean up before we open the door. You know, so we get caught off guard when these things happen. Moments like these, we usually expose how unprepared we really were when these things happen. But Jesus warns us in Matthew 24 this morning, which we want to look at, that there is a far greater moment, an eternal moment that is coming, that will arrive suddenly, you know, and silently and without announcement. That's what scripture is telling us. Then Jesus will return. And that's something we need to be very aware of. And while many today are fascinated by timelines and charts and theories. Jesus shifts our focus this morning, not to when he will come, but what will be happening before that day arrives. It's what he's talking about. And most importantly, how we must live now. It's what he's talking about. In this passage, Jesus gives us a sober, urgent picture. Life will look normal, he says in the text. People will be busy. Routines will continue. Yet beneath the ordinary surface, he says, something extraordinary will be unfolding at the moment. And only those who are awake or alert or are angered will be ready for this. And so Jesus is warning us. He wants us to be prepared and anticipate his return. And in this, I want to give you three quick points about how we need to be on the alert for the coming of the Messiah or the Lord. The first is to look at the normalcy before the day. Let's look at the normalcy before the day. Look in Matthew 24, 37 through 39. It reads, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing, listen to that, about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it would be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is giving these words. Jesus is saying these words. Before the flood came, he tells us, people ate, drank, worked, they farmed, and built. And they had their schedules all lined up, and things were happening during this time. But in other words, life was normal. Life was seriously normal. But that normalcy was deceptive at the time. It was very deceptive, as it is today, because beneath the surface, judgment was approaching. Do you know that every day that comes, when day breaks and we get up from the bed, we draw close to the coming of the Lord? Every hour that strikes on the clock, or every minute or second that strikes on the clock, just only takes us closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that we must be very aware of. Beware that everything in time happens at a certain time. Okay, we make schedules. I have my schedule already packed for the month of December already, and we have not even entered into December yet. I get overwhelmed with my own schedule and all of the things I have in there to be done. I get crazy about Christmas and all of the works that I have to do and the number of messages that I have to prepare, and I'm all caught up into this thing trying to meet with those timelines. And so it is with all of us in this room. We all have schedules. We have plans that we are carrying out as we go, but we have to know also that as we are planning these things, God has a set time for the arrival of his Son. The Father, who knows this, has a set time in your schedule for the coming of his Son. There is a day and time when Jesus will appear in the clouds, and the Bible is telling us this morning that we will not be aware of it, we will not be ready for it when this happens. And so we need to be on the alert as we look at how normal things are. Let us not get fooled or get deceived by the normalcy of life and forget that the coming of the Lord is set on a timeline. He says in Matthew 24, verse 36, but about that day or hour, no one knows, nor even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. See that? So only God the Father knows the time that Jesus is going to come back. The Son, Jesus, who is the Son, doesn't even know when that time is, when he will be coming back to earth. But the Father knows that time, and that time is set within our timeline. And this is why in the space of normalcy that we are carrying on in life, we must not forget God. Do not allow yourself to become overwhelmed by the normalcy of life and your schedules and the things that you have to do out there, and you prioritize those things over God. We cannot allow that to happen. We must be ready and not allow ourselves to be deceived by the normalcy of life. Likewise, before Christ returned, the world would be preoccupied with routines, with busyness, with distraction, with entertainment, and we would be unbothered because we are so connected with these things. And so we are going to allow these things to try to let us see life from a whole different perspective than we actually need to be seeing it. We have to understand, folks, that as the day goes by, that the coming of the Lord draws nearer. So here are three things to remember, three applications. Beware of spiritual sleepiness disguised as normal routine. Spiritual sleepiness. People go to sleep spiritually. We are not awake. We are sleeping. We get caught up in life, and we sleep spiritually. We don't have time to grow in the spirit. We don't have time to know more about God. It is all about what is going on out there, and it catches our attention, and we get caught up into it. Next thing, the greatest danger is not persecution. It is distraction. That's the greatest danger today. And that's the greatest danger that the evil one is using against his church. You remember when he took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple? The Bible says when Jesus was up there, what did he do? He tried to distract him by showing him the world. He said, look out there. See all of this? It's mine. All I need you to do is bow and worship me, and all of this I'm going to give to you. But Jesus used the word against him and did not do what he asked him to do. Today, folks, we are living in the same period of distraction. There are so many things out there to distract us from God. We have to be cautious. We are living in the end time, and we cannot allow the distractions out there to demand us. We must be ready and be on the aware, on the alert for the coming of the Lord. The next thing is, Satan does not need to destroy you if he can simply keep you busy. Okay? That's it. He doesn't need to come and destroy your life if he can keep Christians too busy out there trying to make ends meet, trying to maximize our potential in the world, trying to be out there and be favored by society. If he can get us too busy doing those things, he doesn't have to kill us. He doesn't have to destroy our lives. You can live your life in the church. You can sing all you want and dance all you want. But the thing is, if he can have you distracted from doing God's mission, he's fine with you. And we need to be cautious about all these things. Let's watch out for the normalcy of life. Now let's look. The second thing is the necessity of preparedness. We look at the normalcy of life. Let's look at the necessity of preparedness. Look in Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41. It says, two men will be in the field. One will be ticking and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be ticking and the other left. Jesus is giving these examples to the people as he spoke about what's going to happen on the last day. He says one will be ticking and the other left. Jesus speaks here of a great separation that is coming. Great separation that is coming. This separation is going to be the greatest separation that the world has ever, will ever experience. Okay? Families will be separated. Friends will be separated. Neighbors will be separated on this great day when it comes. And you will be at work. You might be at work and the space get empty. People gone. And you are in the flight, flying to your destination, and the pilot is gone, and there's nobody to pilot the flight. Guess what's going to happen? So this is going to be a terrible day that is coming. See, I've gone through a civil war, and I know how devastating it is when family members get separated. My family and I were separated. We're in different places. Nobody knows what's happening to who, but we were just praying and hoping that we would come back. I remember after a whole year of that war, then the radio station opened and people would go and the radio station started announcing, call your name and tell your family that you're still alive and all those things. And it took another year before then those border lines opened up and people were able to come back and reunite with their families. But we reunited. But the point is, on this great day of separation that is coming, it is an everlasting separation. There will be no more unite. We are not going to come back together.
And this is the reason why it is so essential that we speak the gospel to those people that we come in contact with. Those friends and family members that don't know Jesus, we need to preach the gospel to them and get them saved and get them in the house of God and get them in Jesus Christ, because we want to spend eternity with them. So the separation Jesus describes is sudden and irreversible. Two in the field, two grinding at the mill. Externally similar lives, but vastly different activities are going on. And so he's telling us just how people will be busy and their lives will be affected by this separation. This is a necessity Jesus presses on us, not to speculate about dates, but to prepare our hearts for his return. That's what we need to be doing, preparing our hearts for his return. This is a conversation that I believe every church need to be talking about now. We need to talk about this, because this is not something that is optional. This is not something that we're going to escape by not talking about it. It's coming. It is coming. It is coming. And the church must be prepared for it. So we are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it and get folks prepared, because we love you with the love of God and we want our heart to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Preparedness means living one in repentance. Living in repentance every day. That's how we prepare our heart. Walking in righteousness. We cannot be living our lives loosely and living our lives carelessly while we wait for the Lord to come. We remember the story of the 10 virgins in the book of Matthew 25. And Jesus says, five of them lit the lamps and the other five did not light their lamps. And so he's telling us that there are wise people who are waiting for him and preparing their lives for his coming, where there are other people out there that are wasting their lives loosely and not following and doing what they need to do. The reason Jesus gives us his grace and give us the shed blood of Jesus that is making the atonement on the mercy seat every day is so that you can have and I can have access to repentance, and so that we can ask God to forgive our sins. And there is a blood that has been placed on the mercy seat in heaven to wash our sins away. Let us benefit from that. Let's use repentance as a daily act. Jesus, the Bible says, if anyone says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to confess our sins and receive repentance. And then he wants us to walk in righteousness. He wants us to walk in holiness. And that's what it is about. That's why the Bible says we must present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. What? Holy and acceptable. This is Romans chapter 12. It is our reasonable service. And that's what we need to do while we are waiting on him. Not only that, but we should stay spiritually awake. Stay spiritually awake. Don't die in spirituality. Okay? Plug yourself into Bible studies. Plug yourself into a group that is praying. Connect yourself with friends that are going to help you build up your life in the Lord. That's what God wants us to do, folks. We cannot be living our lives the way we want to. This is not like walking in the grocery store and choosing the item that you want from off of the shelf and leaving the rest there because you don't like it. Okay? When we come to God, the Bible says we must press towards the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Press. Okay, because there will be things that will try to stop us from moving forward, but we need to constantly press towards this mark in Jesus Christ. So living in repentance, walking in righteousness, staying spiritually awake, you know, and then keeping eternity in view, even while living responsibly on earth. You can live a responsible life on earth, but keep eternity in view. Why should we do that? We keep eternity in view because this life that we live here is temporal. The life that we live on earth is temporal. No one knows when he or she will die. Okay? And I tell you all the time, this is why you visit the cemetery, you see graves of different ages at the cemetery. That to tell you the life is not promised on the side of heaven. We can leave this place at any time or any moment. And so this is the reason why we need not to keep this place in mind constantly, but we need to keep eternity in view. Because that's where we're going to spend real life, in eternity, with God, in heaven.
And I hope we all have a mansion there waiting on us in heaven in glory. And that's what we need to be thinking about. And set our minds on things above and not things below. The difference between being taken or left is not membership. Not just becoming a member of a congregation, folks. Not religious habits or good intentions. These things cannot take you into heaven. It is a life that belongs fully to Jesus Christ. A life that is bought in Christ, baptized in Jesus Christ. That's the life that makes it to heaven. It is not by works. It is by the grace of God that we all come. And so let's link to this grace. Let's attach ourselves to it. I am the vine, he says, and you are the branches. Unless you abide in me, he says, you can do nothing. Let's abide in Jesus and enjoy the beauty that he brings to us. We talk about the normalcy before the day. We talk about the necessity of preparedness. Lastly, let's talk about the never-ending alertness. Look in Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. He says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, he says, for if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. So Jesus calls for a posture and not a moment in our lives. A lifestyle of alertness, awareness, and anticipation is what Jesus is calling us to. This is not fear-filled living. He's not calling us to be so afraid that he's going to come back and we might not be ready. But he's calling us to a faith-filled readiness. That faith should be what anchored us in this readiness. A faith-filled readiness is what he's calling us to. And so let's anchor ourselves in the faith that Jesus has given to us and grow in this as we wait for his coming back. This is a never-ending alertness. The alertness should continue in our lives. As long as we live, we must be alerted. And we cannot let that turn off. At no point in our life, at no time in our life, the alertness must continuously be on to watch, guarding our hearts because of this, and making decisions and asking the Lord and allow him to walk with you each day in your life's problems and situations that you have to face. Keep yourself alerted that the Lord might come in time. The discernment in a deceptive age, we have to be very discerning in a deceptive age. The age that we live in now is so deceptive. It is so deceptive. Look at AI. I mean, now you watch the television. You cannot even, or not the television, but you go on social media and you're watching some of these things. You cannot even tell the difference between what is wrong and what is right. Just the other day, we received, matter of fact, a text message from somebody who had hacked one of my sister's accounts in Liberia. And they sent me a text message with a picture of her and her leg broken and in the hospital. Okay? And they use AI to do all of this, that you can almost not recognize the difference. And telling us to send money so they would pay the hospital bill. But what made me to catch that was this: send this message to people that my sister don't talk to. And the moment they called me and started telling me about it, I was like, no, this is something else. And when I went and dug behind it, I realized that the picture that was sent to me was AI generated. Okay? But these people are getting smarter than you and I. And we need to be so cautious. The deception out there in the world today is terrible. The church needs to be on the alert, because the devil will sell stuff to us that will look so rational, so reasonable, to the point where you will not even question it, and you go and get yourself delved into something that is not godly at all. Let the word of God guard our hearts. Let God's word be the sole authority of our lives. Let us examine everything using God's word, not our own rational understanding. Let us have our hearts prepared for the coming of the Lord. And I pray that as you have received these words this morning, it'll encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen.